Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to episode 113 of the Star Chamber Show. Tonight, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Stephen Zimmer, and Mr. Daniel Huberry, Daniel Dark, in person. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How you doing
Holly?
Tonight, Holly?
Tonight, we're going to do a little chat about book event etiquette. And we're going to have a special guest that will be calling in a few minutes, here in a little bit. And, yeah, let's start it out, guys. What's your advice on, like, setting up at the convention or a author's fair or, yeah, do you have like a special routine or, you know, something you do to prepare that, you know, maybe a little different, may, you know, help somebody out there?
Do you want to take it first, Daniel, or do you want me to take that one first?
Go ahead and take it first, Stephen. I'll back you up in it.
All right, and to our listening audience tonight, if I sound a little loopy, it's because I've been running a fever all day, literally, and it is not due to excessive bourbon consumption. If I do sound a little loopy tonight, it is due to going to have a glass during the show because it does, you know, it's my tradition with you all, and you know, I'm talking, but you, the listeners, you are the best, and so I'm going to soldier through tonight. And so, with that being said, that disclaimer. As far as my routine, we just did one last weekend, the Southeastern Kentucky Author Event, and a big shout out to Chazity Bowen and her group for putting that together. We had an absolutely amazing time, Corbin, Kentucky. It was really nice venue, well organized. We were treated really, really well, and had a really strong day. I mean, unloaded a full big box of books actually, and. Found a lot of new readers and got to spend time with a lot of friends and meet new friends. We definitely excited about some of our new friends like Candy Ann Little and some new friends like that, and got to see Chazity and Teresa Reiser and a whole lot of our Victoria Escobar and whole lot of our friends, and it was really cool. But and that brings me
oh
to
we made
the,
some new friends too yeah
yeah. I thought it sounded like Candy Ann Little. Yeah, she was awesome. I had a blast getting
Jennifer
her.
Julie Miller. Yeah, my fellow hair sister that I found. And then we got Kate Beaumont. Am I saying that right? She is a
Beaumont,
hoot.
Yeah, Beaumont. Yeah.
She's a hoot. Love her. Yeah, we clicked really well.
Oh, yeah, she's fiery. Yeah. And
we had a lot of fun.
But part of the event takes place before the event, I think, as far as etiquette. And the first thing in etiquette, I think, is, you know, get on board, find out, you know, everything you can about the show, who's in it, who the people are you may know, may not know, as far as the other guests that are with you on a book event, and promote in advance. And, you know, we even did an online Facebook event. We were invited by author Colleen Green, another one of our new friends that we've met, who had me and Holly dived in to, you know, Facebook event in advance. But part of the etiquette is doing the preparation for it, which includes promotion and includes, you know, representing the other authors and the event itself. I think, that's a big part of the etiquette of an event. And then when you get there, I think the first thing to do is, you know, to go in and just, you know, find out where you are. You know, how's it laid out? You know, who's in charge, who the, you know, staff is. So I think it's, you know, definitely you want to get there early enough that you can take a little bit of time getting acclimated as far as that goes, and make sure that you introduce yourself to a volunteer staff. That's important because you may know the person that invited you, but you may not know the people that volunteered for the day. And I think that's a big part of it. And then, of course, the taking care to set up a professional looking table, and that can be done 100 different ways. It can be very extravagant. It can be very just clean and neat. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but having a professional presentation and then being available during the day. I mean, you want to, not saying that you have to sit at the booth, entirely, but just being within, make sure that if people do come to your table, that if you happen to be talking to an author, a table a couple down, you keep an eye on it and make sure that you're accessible to any reader that comes up to you. And being, and I like to, some people can't stand for long periods. I do like to stand when I'm behind a booth for a while. I think, and I definitely think it's good to engage, not in a heavy-handed way, but to engage readers as they come up and talk with them and get to know them. And even if they're not your genre, the thing is that, they'll know people that are readers of your genre. And it happened several times on Saturday where, we were having lovely conversations with, a person, and just so happened their boyfriend or their husband happened to be totally into this kind of stuff I did. And we had some book sales that way. So it's really neat how it kind of all works together. But as far as, all that fits into the etiquette of it, and, being accessible, being positive, being friendly, looking, upbeat, even if you're tired, even if it's a day where you're not making a lot of sales, and don't look morose. So it's
no, quit the moroseness. That's terrible.
So I'll let Holly comment a little bit on that, because she, she was there with me Saturday, and all the things I've just been talking about, I think she agrees with.
Yeah, I hate to see. I gotta let Daniel pipe in here, but. Oh God, the worst thing is when we go to these events, and any of you know me and Steven, you know how we are. We're always socializing and talking to everybody, and we try to make the best out of a bad situation, even if there's no customers or readers around or whatever. We're still having fun. We're still networking. We're still enjoying our peers and all this. And the power of networking is I cannot emphasize it enough, people. We you need to talk to one another. You need to give, because you get tips. You catch tricks off each other. You get put in touch with this person or that person. I mean, it just makes such a huge difference in your life. But then you'll have these newer authors that come in there with these big expectations that think, oh, I'm going to sell 100 books, Well, no, you're probably not going to sell 100 books, I hate to tell you. And they get all upset, and they'll sit there, and they look like, that their dog has just died, or they've lost their best friend, or some, they just look like, they just are not going to live another day. And we've even seen people leave several hours early and just pack up and give up. And that's not the way to start out. That's not the way to start out.
That's a big
nobody's
going
to buy your books if you're looking like that. Well, nobody's going to come to your table if you're sitting there looking like that, really sad and depressed. Nobody's going to talk to you looking like that. You want to be engaging and smiling. And yes, it's exhausting. Yes, I will agree. I walked around the authors event we did, the Kentuckiana authors event that Hydra put on a couple weeks ago. And
Kentuckiana,
where was it? Oh, God, what's LaGrange, Kentucky.
LaGrange, yeah.
I walked for hours that day. I talked to, every single author at least once, some of them twice. I even did some interviews. But, I was networking. I was passing out Imaginarium cards. Was I exhausted? I felt like I was going to die. I do have fibromyalgia, as most of you know. And I felt, really. But while I was there, I had a smile on my face. Fought through it. You know me. I'm stubborn as a mule.
Mother hen.
And that's right. I even mother hen Daniel, trying to sit his butt down, and I even sit him down and got to watch him, So, that's just what you got to do. You got to push through, put on a smiley face, put on the big girl panties, and go for it. big boy briefs if you're a man. But there you go, Daniel. You take it now. What's your etiquette?
Oh, right before Daniel comments, though, I do want to say, I want to reinforce one thing Holly did say that I really want to hammer through, and that's the people that pack up way early. And I'm not talking about like when it's like 20 minutes to go and pretty much everybody's kind of starting to pack up their stuff. You know, I'm talking about people that literally leave 3 hours into the event. I mean, I'm talking like with hours left in the event. We've actually seen authors kind of getting a fit and pack up and leave, you know, because they don't think they're going to sell as much as they thought they would. To me, that is a big one as far as like a violation of etiquette for authors, and never do that. That sets a bad impression. I mean, it really does leave a bad taste in the people that put on the event, your fellow authors, and the readers. I mean, it's the trifecta. You offend everybody by doing that. So I just want to reinforce that. Now, Daniel, the floor is yours.
So one of the things that I wanted to start with was one that you have already mentioned, and that's engaging the reader. I only have one book out right now, and it is for a limited market. I understand that, you know, that my book is not for everyone. But, you know, one of the questions that I always ask is, what type of books do you read? And then I'll still go ahead and explain what my book is about to them, because it may intrigue them enough to actually say, yeah, I want to read that. Or I want to find out more about it at least. And somebody like Stephen that has, you know, 300 or 400 books out,
you mean big epic novels.
he can hit a lot of different genres and a lot of different people that if he just sat there, they'd walk by, they'd look at the covers, and they may keep going. But
asking that question, engaging
the customer, you know.
Right. They might know somebody who does read
that cover, but they may not notice that that cover is actually something that they read.
Or know somebody that does.
Mm-hmm. Or one of them, you know, we were talking about up in the Kentucky, you know, office fair, and one of the people that bought my book didn't really read my genre. But
right.
I said something else about it, and she was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, let me get one of those from you. And, you know, it sort of surprised me because I was talking totally out of the genre that she normally reads. But
right.
Come to find out, she told me her basic genres that she reads, and I hit on another part of my genre that she has read and likes reading, but doesn't say anything to people about. So,
right.
You know, you never know what, you know, what somebody may enjoy. Now the packing up early. If you're at a book signing, a book fair, a event, and you're giving up on yourself that early, you know, that is, you know, that's something that I would have to look at myself, you know, to see why I'm giving up on myself and
right.
not giving myself a chance to change what the circumstances could be. I mean, like, I went to Kentucky, you know, it cost me, you know, several hundred dollars to go up there and come back home, and it and I made $40. You know,
right.
It's not, you know, like we've said before, may not be in it for the money right now, but
right.
with each connection that I made up there and with each person that I talked to up there, how much money might that make me over the next 10 years? Or 20 years.
Exactly. Or on ebooks.
Yep,
they might tell people. They might go home and buy it there. You don't know.
Yeah. You never know where it's going to be bought at. And,
right.
you know, they may, you know, like, a few people, they said, they go, I'll only read e-books. I came out here to see what was out here, but I'll only read e-books. Okay.
Right.
You know, that is up to you on what, you know, what you like reading and stuff. You know, I don't really read e-books myself. I've got several of them on, you know, device and stuff, but I was getting, you know, different books that were being sent to me and stuff like that in e-book, and I quit accepting them because of the fact that I don't ever read them. There's no sense in me taking, you know, taking it from that person that could be giving that book to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not, you know, and me, you know, I may look at the book, see if it's something that I would like to read at some time and everything, and see whether they have it in print, because that's the way I buy all my books.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is in print. And, you know, that is just me personally. But, you know, you may be talking to some people like I was talking to that they don't do anything except e-book now because they want to carry their whole library around in their palm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my library fills a room, you know, literally.
Right.
It just, but,
know the
you know,
feeling. Know the feeling.
You know, but there is a, you know, another part of it, you know, when you come to it and you're setting up your table and, you know, Stephen said a little bit about it earlier, you know, get there early enough so that you can set up your table and you can look at it and say, yes, that's the way I want it to look.
Right.
And see whether it's set up professionally or not. Look around the room, see what other people have done with their tables and stuff. You know, me with only one book, I bring props with me for mine. It may be Victorian books that I've got sitting there. It may be, you know, skulls. It may be, you know, other things that correspond with what I've written about. But, you know, that is for my table and everything. Yours may be unicorns and stuff like that. You know, whatever your book is and your genre is, you know, make sure that, you know, it's like one person I saw that had tissue holders for romance novels.
Yes. She happens to be in the chat room.
Kenzie Michaels, yes.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Legendary swag. Oh, yes. You got Michael Ross to break down laughing immediately. That was awesome.
You know, but it was, you know, that is a
it's a starter to communicate.
It got everybody's attention
starter.
That saw it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Bingo. She's laughing.
And,
yeah, and say good shout out to Robert Osborne in the chat room too. While we're at it, and saw him in there as well. So
yeah, but
I tore the tissues.
But each person
great.
Has their own gimmick on how they want it. You know. How they want their books presented, how they want, you know,
exactly.
How they want themselves presented. And if you're sitting there, you know, deadpan, like a lot of people probably saw me at the Kentucky Fair and may have thought that I may not have been myself that day. And I wasn't because I just got out of the hospital a couple of days before that, after surgery. And, you know, I got out of the hospital on Tuesday. We had this on, you know, had the blog talk on Wednesday, and then Saturday we were in Kentucky. So, you know, you do what you need to do to promote yourself.
Right.
I don't have a table this weekend, but I will be up at the International Steampunk Symposium this weekend. Up in Cincinnati, Kentucky, or Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Kentucky, yes.
Yeah, whatever. I got to go through Kentucky to get to the daggum place, so.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's going to be in Kentucky, and I'm not even going to see.
Hey, they claim our airport, which is in northern Kentucky, is nowhere in Ohio. They claim the Cincinnati, the Greater Cincinnati International Airport, or whatever it is. It's in northern Kentucky, by God. So we have a right to claim Cincinnati then.
That's true.
Well, yeah. If you can direct me to, you know, to where I can pick up some good White Rabbit Saloon before I get up there, you know, I might be all right for the weekend.
Well, I know who can find you some good Caramel Delights cookies, because we have a special guest that is about to come on the air here, and who is a great writer. She's definitely a fireball. I mean, definitely energetic. Somebody that knows etiquette very well and demonstrates it repeatedly at events. Genres are in the areas of romance, inspirational romance, as far as her writing, and just an absolute pleasure to work with. And I'm gonna let Holly give a little last bit of intro before I activate our guest who is holding online right now. So Holly, do you want to give the red carpet?
Well, she's known as the red hotness. She is peppy. She's always smiling. And we've come up with a perfect phrase for her and her husband. We call them the Action Jacksons. Hello, Miss Kathy.
You are on the air. There she is. We're getting all kinds of 618 area codes on the board tonight. This is great. Calling from around the St. Louis area.
Is she
Hello?
There?
And there's an echo on.
There you go. You have two phones on by chance?
I do. You can turn it off.
Yeah, you're going to have to get away from each other.
Yeah.
If you two are on the phone, one's going to go one room, one's got to go the other. It's just how it goes. Steven's back in the back of the house, and I'm in the office, and we shut the doors.
Yeah, we're so professional. We actually do have a delay, so it can get confusing if you're both talking in the same room.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
We have no worries
there
about
she
you,
is.
Though. We know we won't have to mute anything you say. Don't worry.
No.
He'd be surprised.
He'd be surprised.
I try not to make you mute anything I say, but, I mean, it doesn't happen always.
No.
Well, you know me. Sometimes I get on a tangent.
Now, if that Tommy B. Smith was on here, yeah, we'd have to use that quite a bit. But, you know, he's the pen of chaos, wherever he's at. But welcome to the show. It's
so,
the first time I think we've had you, so this is fantastic. Yeah, tell us a little bit about how are things going in the world of Kathy Jackson right now, and what's the latest as far as your releases and work.
We are going great. We're having an awesome time, kind of in between books, writing, doing a lot of reading, because the big thing about writing is the fact that you stay reading, and if you stay reading, then it makes you a better writer. Just the reading and the writing just marry so well together beautifully. So right now I'm doing a lot of ARC reading for some authors, kind of getting a feel of the ones that I love and their style and how they do their thing. And I do have a story idea kind of percolating in the back of my head that's not fully formed yet. So that's where I'm at right now.
Very cool. Well, you probably heard we were talking a little bit about book etiquette, and I think that was one reason I really love having you on tonight, because you excel at etiquette at events, and I don't know if you got to catch some of the comments that we had going. Did you get a chance to hear the early part of the show, or have you just called in just now?
No, I got a chance to call in.
Okay. Yeah, Holly – how about taking us, as far as like you're, because you and I have both talked about the Jacksons a lot about at events. Give us, talk to Kathy about some of the things in regard to etiquette as far as the Jacksons.
Well,
from our perspective.
Well, Miss Kathy and her husband, they have wonderful etiquette. They stand most of the time, during an event, you know, you guys stand and you greet everybody, and you always have the most beautiful layout of your books. You got flowers, and she even brought me flowers. The event we did in LaGrange, she brought me carnations, and she brought Stephen some cookies.
Yes, and I love them.
And see, that's always good too, to suck up to your neighbors and your peers. That's always a good thing too. And gifts are always welcome. and publishers, that's right. Gifts are always welcome.
Yeah,
yeah, and Daniel comes bearing gifts too.
And with pre-promotion, I mean, Kathy does a great job, and she's got a really good presence on social media. She's got her own forums, and she also works Facebook Live as good as anybody I've seen out there. And that was a lot of fun watching her Facebook Live traveling in with Matt from St. Louis, and they were giving a on-the-road Facebook Live, and that was a blast to watch, and I enjoyed that one a lot. But that's part of etiquette for events, and it's the promotion and the – yeah, representing yourself in advance of it. So, but yes, that's some of our thoughts on it. Now, what about you, Kathy? What do you focus on when it comes to the topic of etiquette and events?
Selling. You got
it. High praise for the Facebook Live. I really appreciate that. It's just that we're just a couple of dorks, and when we turn on the camera, we just say whatever's on our mind.
We're very much unscripted. And that makes it
that was
the
great Matthew Jackson. Hello, Matthew.
Yes, that's Matthew. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, what up?
But I mean, it should be not only about representing yourself and what you do, but it should also be about having a good time. Because if you're not having a good time in a thing that you'd love to do, why are you doing it? You know?
That's true.
Very true. And going to events is fun, and meeting new people is fun, and getting to meet other authors and publishers, that's awesome, because I love meeting new people. And my kids always make this this analogy that I could be standing in the line at Walmart and make a new best friend every time we go. You know,
I do that all the time.
Right?
Yes.
It's so fun.
I get people's life history. Great. But,
yeah, we love doing Facebook Lives because we're just so excited, you know, and we love getting new books, and we love just opening things, and it's just so fun.
I think it's important that you mention that about the having fun aspect, because that gets it when Holly and I were just, and Daniel were talking about how some events you see authors get really morose fast, and some even like get storm out of there 2 hours in the event, you know, if they're not selling 100 books.
They'll pack up and leave.
And yet, even if we haven't sold a book, wherever we are, I mean, it's always like a crazy little party going on. And it does. I mean, really, it's a big difference when you approach it without, expectations, and you look at, you know, the other values of attending events and having fun with it and not being consumed by, oh, did I sell 100 books in the first hour? I think it's great you mentioned the enjoyment aspect of it.
Well, you go to an event, whether they're live events, like at a convention, or I've been doing Facebook events since 2013, 2014, right? And each time you are at an event, whether it's online or in person, you are representing the person who is hosting the event. So no matter who walks through that door, you are the Kentuckiana Authors Fair, the last one that we were at. Whoever walked through that door, I mean, I tried to do my best to represent, I believe it was Tony Acree, and I maybe pronouncing his last name.
Yes, Acree. Right? We got corrected on that.
Acree.
After calling Acree for years.
Acree. Yeah, we always called him Acree. Yeah. He never corrected us till the other day.
I know. He never corrected us for years.
He let us do it, man. God. And he's our toastmaster at Imaginarium.
You represent
go figure.
Perfect. And that name, too. And you want to represent them, you know, in a very business-like manner, but you also want to represent every aspect of who you are and what potential the event has and what it could be. And, I mean, there's so many, because I'm a psychologist. I've got a degree in psychology, so it's just I'm a big mess. But yeah, Matt's over here snoring. Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. But, yes, the goal as an author at an event is to sell out. I mean, you want to walk out of there with nothing except a smile.
Sure.
And cash in your hand.
That'd be great. Yeah, we'd all be happy with that. We ain't going to complain.
But who's going to remember the author who was constantly angry and upset because they weren't selling well? And I may be stepping on toes.
Right.
You want somebody to walk out there and go, oh, wow, I remember that person because of this awesome experience. You know.
Right.
You know, and that's what sticks with people, you know.
Right. You can feel bad later.
Right. But there's a lady who came to my table and she's like, I saw your Facebook Live. You know, you guys were playing with the sunroof. And I'm like, yep.
right.
Yeah. She's like, the reason you're there, the reason I'm here is because I saw your Facebook Live. You know, and I thought that was awesome, not because she was watching it or whatever else, but because she got to come to the Kentucky and Authors Fair and to meet new people, new authors. And she got to be, and there were so many authors of different jobs there that she got to experience the whole of that.
Exactly.
Well, it's not just the ones that are getting mad and walking out, but the ones that, you know, sit there and read a book all day long and everything, never look up at their table or anybody that's walking by.
Right.
You know,
never
also,
acknowledge,
you know,
anybody.
That,
yeah.
You know, they're not representing themselves good or, like Kathy says, the event good. The event, you know,
right.
Promoter good. Because of the fact that, you know, who wants somebody that's just sitting there all day long taking up space?
Right. There may have been somebody that would have sit at that table that would have, you know, been more into it and, you know, standing up and selling books and trying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You may have, and then that person may have took that spot sitting there and not even trying.
Mm-hmm.
Your books aren't going to sell themselves, people.
But let's say one thing, though. It is a very hard thing for a lot of authors. They get into it because for a lot of them, you know, it's a bit of a defensive mechanism in some ways, I think, because a lot of authors tend to be, in general, more introverted. And so, you know, these big events where you're suddenly meeting the public and you're face-to-face and you're basically a salesperson for your brand, and it's not easy. And so some will
– You are your
you
brand.
Know, kind of, they'll seek the comfort zone a little bit, and that's just something that we mentioned on the show just for you to be conscious of, because – because if you you just got to be conscious of that, and it's tough. It's not easy, but yeah, engaging, you know, people is a tough thing for some, and that's but it is something that is, you know, you have to work on that in order to do well
and
at a live event.
And you do not have to be over the board and loud, you know, like me. I'm loud. You hear me before you see me. I'm up all over the place. You do not have to be like that. I'm not saying that, but you know, at least sit there and smile at people. Acknowledge them and give them a head nod. You know, something.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge people when they go by.
Yeah.
Make eye contact. You know, you don't have to strike up a huge conversation, but, you know, at least make some eye contact.
These people took time out of their day to come and see what was going on. I mean,
exactly.
If that was both sides of the table, I would want somebody to, like you said, make eye contact, nod at them or smile at them, acknowledge the fact that they're there. And that's kind of a thank you for coming sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to engage in conversation, that's awesome. And if they're there just to kind of check things out, that's great too.
Right.
You know, but to me, it's all about representation. You know, you have been invited to an event. I've been invited to an event I get pronouns wrong all the time, so whatever. But, I mean, you've been invited to an event. I mean, the people who invited you, you want to make them look good because they asked you to be there. You know, and if you make them look good, then you look good. And maybe that's not
right.
I don't know. But, I mean, and if you sell out, great. And if you buy, if you don't, that's fine, too. And the goal is always to do that. But I'm just overjoyed every time I'm asked to be at an event. And I get sometimes overly exuberant because I'm just so excited to be there. You know what I mean? And I hope
right.
I hope excitement never goes away.
Well, once
see,
it,
I'm
well,
I'll
speak
oh,
that's
I'm
why I'm
a
an organizer.
Crasher.
Yeah,
you're
I'll speak
a party crasher,
on the organizational
Daniel.
Side with the Jacksons.
I never get invited to the event. I just come.
but being exuberant about the event leads the Jacksons actually to be very conscious of the organizers too, and I've seen it at many events, whether it's the you know. I mean, several different people have running them, and I've seen the Jacksons do this at all events. I mean, they are willing to dive in and help the organizers with little things. And,
well, they're part of the Imaginarium team now.
Yeah,
they're going to help me this year.
We definitely have.
We roped them in,
them,
you know.
But it's because they are conscientious of the other side of the coin, the organizer end of it. They are very conscious of that, and I think that reflects good etiquette when you try to be conscious of what the organizers go through, deal with their pressures, their stresses, their problems. And
it's
I think
not
the Jacksons
fun, guys.
Are great about that.
It's not fun. Let me tell
yeah.
you, be nice to your organizers, please, because it's
yeah.
a daily struggle. Let me tell you, struggle's real.
But thank you for people like the Jacksons, because they are conscious of that side. And
yes.
that's part of etiquette.
It was just like Tony this last time and everything. Everybody was leaving, and he was going to be left there, you know, putting
God.
Up everything.
Oh.
And
he would have been there for several hours afterwards, probably.
Yeah, the Jacksons didn't even know it, or they would have stayed.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody was gone.
Too, yeah.
And it was me and Steven and Daniel and his wife, and then Stacy and Tracy, which are big fans. And the
Per Bastet camp, yeah.
Girls. And we all stayed and helped him take all the tables down. He was going to do that all by himself.
Well, y'all
because
y'all
he
helped.
Got abandoned.
I sat down.
Yeah, well, Daniel was sick.
Here we're going to stay and help because we did ask before we left. And he's like, no, you got a, what was it, a 3.5-hour drive or something? He's like, you guys
let
go. You know, and I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. And we're like,
you're
okay,
poor thing.
So next year we'll plan on staying and completely tearing down. Because that's one of the things we wanted to do at Imaginarium last year. We was going around asking the vendors even before we left, before we drove home, hey, what can we do to help you tear your stuff down? We carry boxes or whatever. Because for the promoter, the person coordinating the event, they take, I don't know, months, maybe even a year or years to put
I'm event. Working on next year's already. I mean, I've had stuff in the works for even 2019, you know, and I'm working on this year. So, yeah.
Have going on. So, I mean, to make the best from my side of it that would help you guys, I mean, that's what I want to do.
Right. Right. And we appreciate it. We appreciate all the help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys are, the Jacksons are, they get involved on every front. I mean, they help the organizers. They're conscious of the attendees. They're super helpful to their fellow neighbors and other authors. I mean, it's really, they, as far as etiquette goes, they demonstrated in all three of those areas. I mean, it's awesome. So,
they're ones to watch and, you know,
definitely.
You know, emulate.
Yeah.
They got it. They got it.
And they have good cookies, too. That's
they
helpful.
Have good cookies and pretty flowers. Pretty flowers.
And they make, and then they have good John Wells action figures, too, which are very rare.
And they're excellent cosplayers.
Yeah. Matt's going to work on, what did you say, two? I think two of them for Imaginarium.
Two for Imaginarium.
Two for Imaginarium.
Man. Nice.
Oh, well, we owe John one to begin with. We got a couple others.
Yeah, we do owe him one, the Gustavo Faro action figure. And
it just tickled him to death.
Yeah, you've done a lot of trailer work and had John in your trailers and lots of good actors. I mean, that's one thing you've done on your author side. It's pretty awesome. I mean, you put together some really good stuff there.
Well, I don't think it was me. I think I was just used to do that. But I think it was the people. I mean, it was John, and it was John Thomason and Tom Proctor and those guys who were just like, we'll do it, because they could have said no. You know, that could have as easily gone the other way. But I do try to, whoever jumps on board, I do try to the best of my ability to recommend it to other people and know what they want to do and keep an eye out for potential things that they could be involved in later. Because rising tides, there's a thing that I'm totally missing right now. But if you can do something, push your fellow creative up to the next level of work to do and help them in any way, then that's definitely something that I want to do.
Right. The rising tide lifts all ships. Yes, that is very, very true. And you do it well. But yeah, definitely
yep.
Love those John Wells action figures, though. Those are awesome. He's quite a talent, and I'm glad you've gotten to have him in your trailers.
John's awesome.
Love those action figures.
John is awesome.
They are so – yeah, they are cool.
It was actually a total lark on the first one anyway, because someone – I can't remember how the conversation started. About having a John Wells action figure. I think one of our mutual friends is a John Wells fan, and she mentioned an off comment about having a John Wells action figure. We thought it'd be hilarious to make one. And then Anim Fest was coming up a year ago, 2 years ago. And we thought, you know, it'd be cool to present John with an action figure of him while he's there. So I spent a week trying to knock this together, and it turned out a lot better than I expected to.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Man, it's phenomenal. It looked like something you just get right off the shelf.
Yeah. It blew him away, too. I happened to actually witness that when you gave it to him. He was stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, he loves it, man.
Then the second one was at Fright Night. We had made one to represent the Gustavo Faro photo shoot he had done years ago, and that was actually for this friend who wanted an action figure, so he showed it to John so he can autograph it for us. But
nice.
he really enjoyed it. He laughed at that one too. So
you did such a good job on
Well, next thing up, you have to make action figures of small press personalities and make one of Jason Sizemore from Apex and Tony Acree and get a set of Kentucky region small press figures.
The
Bastet ladies.
When you do Zimmer one, make sure he has a staff and an old wizard hat.
You get the... Have the book fair playset, action playset. That'd be awesome. Oh, God. Some of the little tables and little setups. That'd be awesome.
Damn,
you could start a whole new thing there.
I can see it.
Oh, man.
Oh,
we're going to Geek
great.
World, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Before we get too far off track, though, I do want to talk to Kathy a little bit about her writing and writing in the inspirational romance area, because one of the things, I mean, we have not had a lot of romance writers on the show, and one of the things that we get curious about is we hear from a lot of publishers that they,
I'm a romance writer.
In the romance genres, they have a lot of expectations.
You're an erotic writer.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There's a difference.
But there's a lot of expectation in the formats.
You have to talk to Tony about the manuscript I just gave him. On that note, what you just – because I just finished a – well, in February, I finished a 300,000-plus word manuscript that can be easily broken up into six books. And I was discussing that with me at the Kentucky and Authors Fair, and he's like, email that to me. And I'm like, what? And he's like – I can't remember if he said he's going to – they were opening up a romance section, or they had one or something like that.
They have one.
Yeah, Stardust.
They have one.
Yeah.
Stardust.
I think put that into the romance section. I said, are you sure? Because, and then I explained to him what sort of romance it was, because it's not inspirational romance. It's not. And he said, email me the manuscript. So I said, I haven't had it edited. I mean, it's very raw. It's just, I finished it and I've celebrated and I'm kind of just letting it sit. And then I go back to it, you know, and
right.
I said, I haven't gone back to it yet. So I sent it off to him. So he's actually got it on his computer now. So that's going to be my next foray, whenever that gets published, is the Min Orizan manuscript, which is going to be completely different than what I've got published so far.
Mm-hmm. But what do you, like, as far as like mainstream romance releases, though, I do know that a lot of publishers have definite expectations that certain things have to be in every release almost because of the way that the readers respond.
A formula, yeah.
I don't want to call it necessarily a form. Yeah, but they definitely have certain,
no, but
things,
certain
genre things that they
bullet
expect.
Points.
Yeah.
Right.
How do you, as a creative writer, how do you work with that or put your own stamp on the things that are expected by, you know, publishers in the genre?
Well, that's a great question because I've never really worked with a publisher because I am self-published. So I've worked with myself. And what I've written is just what has come to me at the time. And I've been very proud of what has been given to me to write. And it's not something I take lightly either. I liken it to like a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, you know, that you weren't really expecting, but you got and you loved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see each of the books that I get to write or I've got to write is they're a gift that I never really expected, but was kind of what I needed. And each book for me is very therapeutic because something I've noticed is that I've discovered through my own writing, I'm learning more about myself, which is kind of weird, but kind of me.
I get it.
You discover these, even these little hidden aspects about yourself, you find those. And if you're anything like me, you're like, wow, I didn't know that. And sure enough, yeah, it was there, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. So being more of a self-published author has probably given you more flexibility in being able to do what you want to do, as opposed to, you know, writing romance for a more traditional press that has certain parameters that they expect for everybody in their camp. That's kind of what I'm getting out of that. Which is good. Because I have heard, you know, from some romance writers that it is frustrating to have to always kind of include these certain, you know, kind of expectations in all of their work, where you, on the other hand, are able to, you know, broaden out a little bit more than it, just because you have the self-published approach. And
said that in the chat room, you know, she tries not to use the formula, and I told her, yeah, the more you teeter on the edge, the better, you know, for your creativity, which Kathy does too. You know, she has her own unique spins and it's her own stories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that makes her a really great author is that she's asked oftentimes if she ever plots out her story, and she does.
Right.
She sits down at the computer whenever she gets the inspiration and starts tacking out a few words. And it'll be like 1-2 o'clock in the morning. I wake up and she's
going to town.
He's in manic state, which is just like hammering out these novel length manuscripts. I'm like, I go back and read them over her shoulder or read them later when I'm formatting them. And I'm like, what did you just write? She goes, I have no idea. And but they're true story, and they're beautiful stories. And they have all of them so far that I've read have happily ever afters. And it may take you 2 or 3 chapters or 2 or 3 books in a series to get there, but it does have them.
Oh, she was
really right. Right.
Okay, the Bloom series has a little Easter egg-y secret that you don't get to really discover until book five. And you read the first 4 books, and somewhere in book 5, you have to really want to go back and read the first 4 books, and then you realize that the secret that's revealed in book 5 has always been there.
Yeah, the seeds are there in all the books. But one of the things that didn't show up until she wrote it. And like she never plots anything out. Like in this Loom series. And then you start pointing like, man, how could that be? And then you go back and read the others like, yeah, sure enough, it sure is. And it's just, yeah, right? This end of it.
Okay.
Being an independent publisher, she can write that and then have it formatted and edited and ready for print. Then she can put it out however she likes it. No expectations on what she's writing, which is kind of a double-edged sword. You don't really know what genre to put it in because it doesn't fit. It's like contemporary romance writing, but it's inspirational because a lot of the things she's published so far have to deal with faith and a relationship with God and other things that's called inspirational category, but inspirational category doesn't deal with the things that she writes about. So it's a catch-22.
Well, I think it's a good thing. You have more of a crossover kind of appeal, I think, when you can play in a few different areas. And I think that you definitely have that working for you with that kind of approach. And I think you also, as far as your self-publishing, I mean, you take it the right way. You treat it like a press, because I know you and Matt, the two of you form a quite a good team in terms of the execution of releases with everything layout
to
design.
The Action Jacksons.
The Action Jacksons. Yeah, I mean, you guys treat it like a press, which is the proper way, I think, to approach, well, not think. I know it's the proper way to approach self-publishing. And so that's another thing I should point out as far as your approach. Because yeah, you do quite a lot, Matt. I know you do with the
Matt holds
the book
many
release.
Wears many hats.
Yeah.
And you do in small press, people don't really you wear many hats. We turn into editors. We're authors, editors, readers, publishers,
layout design,
marketers,
PR people.
Yeah,
copy
I mean,
editing,
it just goes on
editing.
And on and on
yeah.
and on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
we
lot.
Do it all.
It's a lot to
It's a lot to keep track of, man.
Well, it really is. Because I nail out the book. You know, I get the book written and then send it to my editor. And Jennifer Harshman of Harshman Services, she's the one that's been editing all my books. So she gets them in through them. And something we learned in the Yours 2 trilogy of books that Matt and I started doing because it's written from Max's perspective and then Ruthie's, and it goes per chapter. His, her per chapter. As what Matt and I did is we sat down and we spent hours, okay? And he would read Max's part and I would read Ruthie's part. And it's trying to get the consistency in the story. So nothing's doubled, there's no, somebody has blue eyes. No, actually they have green. Now, wait a minute, are they blue or green? You know what I mean? And that's things that, yes, I think an editor would catch, but to make Jennifer's job easier, if we catch those before they go to her, then it just makes her job so much easier.
Clean copy. That is a key.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I did that with Stevens. I'm the first one, and Daniel,
yep.
I must say. I'm like
yep.
the first one to read their things, and yeah, I tell them, well, you might want to change this to this, or I'll find, you know,
yeah.
silly little things that
great.
Y'all don't see
editor,
when you're writing.
Say, wow, it's clean. It's wonderful. You
man,
know, as
this
how
is
clean
nice.
Your copy is. Then they can focus on, you know, the more deeper stuff as opposed to having to clean up things that get caught, you know, you can catch
right.
early. So that's good. Yeah, that's a really good thing. Yeah,
well,
that's but you.
It's fun to go back and read what I've written too, because this is going to sound weird, but half the time I don't know what I've written.
No, when you get no, it's
wow.
not weird. When you get in a groove, you go with the
yeah.
momentum. I mean, absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, there are
mm-hmm.
days where I've spent like an hour on making sure I get a paragraph just right with the wording because it's a really, you know, I've got a, you know, and there's days when I've, you know, flowed with, you know, a few thousand words, and yeah, when you get on one of those days where you're just going, I mean, yeah, you ride the wave. I know.
Yeah,
how
you
feel.
Forget character names, you forget places, you'd be like,
or that,
where
yeah.
was that, or you know, and I'm like, well, you wrote the darn thing, but you just don't remember because you're in that zone and you're punching it out, you know.
There have been days that I get the kids off to school, right, and next thing I know it's 3:00, and I've written on the manuscript the entire day, you know, and it's like, oh, well, I didn't have breakfast or lunch. I probably should eat today, but it's time to
right.
get to the kitchen, so I'm going to do that.
That's why the lawn doesn't get mowed. That's why we forget to take the trash out. That's why, yeah, I know the pain. We're in the same boat. Yeah, it is time consuming, and you do get wrapped up into
mm-hmm.
things, and it's like we all do live like two different lives because we're in – you know, that realm and computers, in front of the computers all the time. But then you got the real life, I call it, that's going on in the background that, you know, there's still house cleaning has to be done. There's still cooking that has to be done. There's still lawns. There's still, you know, there's still stuff running to get kids or whatever. And it's a balance. It is a balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trick to find that balance. Where's the balance for you? You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm very blessed in the fact that, you know, Matt works, you know, until 2:30, kids get off school at 3, you know, and our two older sons, you know, one of them drives, like, oh, yeah, I'll go get the kids, you just keep riding, or you're doing a Facebook event, so why don't you keep doing that, and I'll go, you know, I'll pick them up from school, you know, so that's great, too, and it's, I'm very much a see a need, fill a need sort of person, so I see the fact that something needs to be done, or what we've taught our children is you see something needs to be done, jump in and do it. You know, don't wait to be asked. And I think that I'm hoping that sticks very much with them, because I think in life that's just going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By seeing. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true.
I can't
well,
get my child off
to...
the couch most of the
oh,
time unless
well,
I chain him up outside.
The live show may be about to come to a close, but we are going to go ahead and
right.
let this conversation go a few minutes longer for the recorded archive streamable download version. So just a note on that real quick, because we are getting into some good stuff
yeah.
with Kathy here. This is pretty fun stuff. So if it goes
and,
a few minutes
they
old,
can,
over,
they can
just
always
make sure
come
you
back
download
and listen.
Stream it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the publisher is completely different, because there are several authors who I know who have agents and publishers. And yes, they sort of have to stick to a formula on how they do their books, because formulas sell. I mean, if we're going to be straight up honest, formula books with a formula just sell. You know, depending on the genre it is and that sort of thing. And I considered a couple of weeks back trying to fit myself into a genre, but I don't think I can do so because to me that's pretty much a box. And,
right.
And I don't
feel like you're boxing yourself in.
Yeah. It's like,
do I
always want to be an inspirational romance writer? Well, the book I'm thinking of right now kind of is an inspirational romance. And I like that because when I finished with Men in Razan, because there was some steamy scenes in Men in Razan that was just very much like, with muchness, Matt says, you know, and they were very good scenes that pushed the story forward, you know, but it was so different from what I had written previously. And that's good because it challenges a writer to write out of their genre, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no, I think
that's always good to challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No,
and not box yourself
so.
In.
Mm-hmm. And on that subject,
and to call yourself a multi-genre.
Going, what genres that you have not written in, Kathy, that you find yourself maybe pulled to down the line to do a project in? Are there any that appeal to you strongly outside that are totally different?
Totally different. Well, the one Men in Razan actually is a male-female, male-male plus romance. But there's a little twist on that one is that the guys are all the same person. That's all I'm going to tell you.
That's cool.
Because I actually had some beta readers read the first, what I would call like the first six of the book. And one of them came back and was like, well, is this the same guy with multiple personalities? And I'm like, nope. You know, it's the same guy, but there's four of them in the beginning of the book.
Four. Five of them.
The yeah, because I've got
five different versions of the same guy.
Of the same guy. Yeah. So she's like, okay, so he's multiple personality, and I'm like, nope, it's the same guy. And the original guy, his name is Tom Arnell, he has a beautiful backstory that I didn't discover until I was like 250,000 words in.
Oh, God.
That I was, that totally fit into his character. And I thought, oh, that's why he does that. That makes so much sense.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. It's funny how things come to you like that.
It is. I have to stop, and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the things that evolve as you write, it's really neat. That's why I say I'm partial plotter and a partial pantser. I'm like a hybrid between the two because I just love it when, you know, I'm into something and something I never kind of recognized when I started the journey on a project crops up like that. That is awesome. So, but 250,000 words in, that's cool. That's other words. It's like after one day of writing, right? For Kathy.
It's just a day.
Her daily word count.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So, go back to the other genres. She has a few other unfinished works. She's got a gothic romance called Fascination. That's not quite finished. Mm-hmm. She has a political thriller with a bit of a steamy side to it, and that's unfinished.
But it's unedited and unpublished. It is finished, though.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What else was there?
The gothic romance is beautiful, though.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I gotta read that.
Yeah, it's about an immortal who meets his soulmate when she's a baby, and he gets to watch her grow up.
Oh, that's neat.
It's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
That's like imprinting. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'll put that on
multi-genre. Yeah, that'll be on my list. That's what I told Kathy. I don't read romance, but doggone it, she gave me one of her books, The Five Coffees. I read it. I told Stephen, I said, now I got to read the other one because now I know what happened.
True.
I love the book, and I love the story and everything, and I'm like, now I got to know. And then come to find out there's like 5 books. I'm like, well, eventually I'm going to have to read them all because I want to know what's happening. So
yep.
You hooked me, Kathy. You hooked me.
That is true. I have watched Holly reading your book many a night. So, yeah, she speaks the truth.
You guys are all great people. Sometimes I'm just so blown away by how awesome you guys are. They're just great.
Well, we're just
well,
hanging
we love
in
you guys.
There. We you guys are definitely ones that we, you know, definitely would recommend to other authors about, you know, our topic of etiquette and approaches to book events and then also approaches to writing. I think some of the stuff that you've talked about just in the last segment have been great, you know, about being willing to be kind of, you know, spread your wings, not necessarily be confined by strict genre expectations, being willing to be open to even, you know, do things outside your genre. I think that's great. And for me, you know, doing steampunk for the first time was an incredibly rewarding experience. So I know exactly, you know, what that feels like. And it does help you grow as a writer. And so, yeah, that's it's definitely going to be fun to watch your next phases as you take the next steps here.
Yes.
And and all of it, from books to action figures.
Well, you know, you guys are all like that, though. Daniel writes, you know, different things. He writes about cooking, like in the back of his book, you know, Knife's Tale. It's a Jack the Ripper type book, and it's like an erotic horror, but in the back, it's recipes. So, you know.
Yeah.
I can't wait for
you
that.
You get a recipe for everything in the book. Everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. It really is cool.
Can I mention the author's fair?
Yeah.
The ketchup one. Have you mentioned that one yet, Daniel?
Yes, you can. Yes, he can. Yeah, it's not too far off.
Yeah, go ahead. It'll be out in a few weeks, so go ahead.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Matt and I were talking about that. There's a lot of really cool stuff that could be put in that book. The Collinsville has a large world.
So Daniel has written a book about the history of ketchup, which sounds intriguing, to the very least. And during the promo run, y'all definitely need to come out to Collinsville, Illinois, because that is the home of the world's largest ketchup bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daniel. The world's largest ketchup bottle. They were telling me about this. I forgot to tell you, and I'm like, oh, we got to go. Daniel's got to see this. Really?
Yeah. I haven't been to it yet, but they do have a fair there every year, so.
Well, you got to go sell the book. That'd be perfect. You got to get your picture with this ketchup bottle.
Yes.
It was actually a ketchup. It was actually the part of the ketchup factory that they had in the city, and they made the tower for, I think it was the water tower or something originally, it was made to look like a giant ketchup bottle.
Yep.
Wow,
that's nice.
Huh. That is so bizarre. See, he knew about it. Fingers.
Well, see, if the Jacksons, if Matt ever makes an action figure of you, there's going to be all kinds of room for accessories, from your unique bicycles to your ketchup bottles to your everything. It's going to be
a knife.
1906 car vehicles. I mean, yeah, it's Matt would have plenty of room for action figure land for that. Oh man.
Lots of props.
Oh Lord.
Well, when you're talking about my ketchup book and everything, it is recipes of ketchup. It'll have around 200 recipes for ketchup, and over 60 different flavors in there. So, yeah, you know, that is, and plus history about ketchup, you know, different names for ketchup around the world, different things that you'll find in there that may be interesting to you if you are a condiment lover. And that will be, that book is the one that I wrote after I had my stroke. And I was able to use that book to get my brain reworking again.
Right.
I had to go and get like a measuring cup out of the kitchen to figure out how many ounces were in a cup and different things like that when I was doing it, because my brain had been erased on a lot of things. And that book allowed me to regenerate a lot of knowledge that I didn't have. And the thing that I'm doing with that book that I hope Stephen and Holly will appreciate is the fact that the blood banks and stuff around here, I'm going to be donating 90% of my proceeds to them because they're the ones that have kept me alive over the last year, with giving me over 20 units of blood in the last, you know, few months even.
Right.
So.
I think it's fantastic.
I think it's just something that I need to, you know, that I'm doing to give back. That was the book that, you know, that was instrumental on me staying focused and staying alive, and then, you know, giving back to the people that, you know, have kept me alive for the last few years. So.
Right.
That's awesome.
What we can do now, though, is bring it all together with our group here, and Kathy can host her very first book event out locally where she is, where you can sample all of the ketchups that are in the book that Daniel's releasing, and we'll call it Ketchup with Kathy, a book event.
Who's going to make all those ketchups, Stephen?
I'll come help
you.
We'll
worry
you.
About details
I'll come
later.
Help you. We'll do that later, but I'll help you. You know, I love the cook.
We'll whip up the ketchup. That is like 70 days worth of work right there.
That's a lot of freaking ketchup.
Well, if it's going to be an event with Kathy Jackson, you know it's going to be epic anyway. So.
Well, that's true.
Hey,
that's true.
George, I'll pitch it and help. I mean, that would be awesome.
There you go. We just go to the Jacksons. And they have children. They have minions. We get the
minions
on it.
That's true.
And we get it done.
Well, Stephen said every ketchup in the book, and that is a, you know, if you're talking about all 200 recipes or so, then, you know.
That's a lot.
You are, you know.
That's a good email.
You're making it a little bit. Can you take catch up with Kathy on the road here and go to a few different cities and we'll mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, we'll get a hippie bus.
Well, it's like,
yay,
some, of the,
it's like
some of the ketchups in the book are, you know, they take like, you know, a couple of months to make the ketchup to start with.
Oh, wow.
From scratch to finish.
Well, we'd have to start early then. We'd have
to
plan ahead.
Soon.
This will be 2020. In 2020.
In 2020. Okay, so. You get your Daniel Dark action figure at every event.
What about if we just do the ones that I make for my company, you know, 1876 ketchup, you know, that'll be the ones that we have there.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
there
man.
You go.
So there you go. We have crazy ideas at the end of the show here.
Yeah, we'll do the ketchups that we know are, you know, are completely, you know, ready for the public and stuff like that. So
right, and easier to put together that don't take months. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as far as events,
you know, the ones that I make normally don't take over 12 hours to cook. So.
Right.
Well, while
right.
we're on events, let's ask Kathy, what events do you have coming up that you'd like to mention, and then also tell the listeners how to find you online?
Oh, that's a great question. My next event is coming weekend at in Salem, Illinois. It is the Salem Comic and Toy Expo. In Salem, Illinois, it'll be this Saturday and Sunday. So that'll be really great. And I think my next event after that is, you're pointing on the calendar, Matt. Hang on. Possibly StoCon, and that is in Mattoon, Illinois. And then Bird Comics in August, PenCon September, and then SalukiCon. And then that takes me to Imaginarium in October. Yeah.
The tour.
Yes.
All right.
The tour.
That's awesome.
Daniel, where's Daniel going to be this weekend?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll be in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
And at the International Steampunk Symposium is where you'll find me at this weekend. And never been to it before. We're going to find out about it and see how things work out there. Looked at a whole bunch of it and everything. I hope to meet a lot of new people there. And then come back home, and the second week in May, I've got a book signing at one of the cigar clubs here locally in Nashville area. And then I'll have Killer Nashville in the middle of the year, and then their BoucherCon, I'm looking at going to that in September in Florida. And then I may go to this event up in Kentucky in October. they'll let
Kentucky.
Me come up there again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You have to be there. You're my sanity, which is, that's frightening. But Daniel's the one that tells me, sit down at Imaginary. He's like, sit down, shut up, take a breath. That's what he does to me.
That's true. Yeah, I guess event-wise.
And he's like, I can get by with it.
She
don't get mad at me.
I want to throw in a quick plug for, I'll be at a really nice event at the Community Art Center of Switzerland County, which is in Vivi,
yes,
Indiana, which is where Belterra Casino is. And that's a great,
and where
great
I'm from.
Art gallery. Great artists. A lot of artists will be appearing. I will be the book guy, and I'll be doing an appearance there with some really talented folks. And it's going to be a really fun afternoon and evening taking place on May the 4th. So may the 4th be with you, and that
fourth
will be the release day,
yes,
for my next Raiden Valkyrie novella, by the way, too. So it coincides perfectly. So that's what I've got going on. So that's event-wise. But we didn't finish with Kathy yet because she still has to tell us how to find her online for her new fans that have heard
right.
the show tonight.
Wow. Okay. My big major social network is definitely Facebook. I love being on Facebook, and it's kind of my big thing. I'm kind of thinking about shifting over to Twitter, but I'm not quite sure yet.
I see you on there.
Steven likes Twitter.
I do. I even rant on Twitter sometimes. You never know.
He rants. I love Facebook. He loves Twitter.
That's a song, isn't it?
But yes, Twitter, you are on there. You are Author C. Jackson at Twitter. Yeah, I know that one.
Yep, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, BookBub, and Amazon. You can find me on all of those places, and Goodreads too. Find a list of all my books on Goodreads.
Yeah, because you follow our press, you follow some Goodreads.
I do.
Yeah.
I also have a Spotify account that I keep all my playlists on for my book.
And I'm thinking you follow Steven, and Steven follows you. I will have to check on that because I handle his Goodreads too, so I'll have to look into that. But I
yeah.
know you do our press.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We're following each other there.
Yeah, we definitely got to follow Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere I can. Well, it's hard to keep up with the Jacksons. They are just on the move all the time, I tell you.
Are you on Pinterest?
Pinterest? I am on Pinterest. Yeah. I haven't done anything.
All right, well, we can follow you there, too.
So I've actually got a list of the social networks I'm on. It's Facebook, Goodreads, Amazon, BookBub, Google+, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Spotify, Tumblr, Twitter, and YouTube.
Good God.
Wow.
She's as bad as us. She's like us. She's everywhere.
I know. It's a job to keep up with it all, I tell you.
Full-time job.
My hat's off to you.
It really is. If you link your account in such a certain way, you are more active on certain sites than you are on others. Like, I've got my personal Facebook page set up to link to Twitter now, so that when I do make a on Facebook, it goes to Twitter. And then my Instagram stays strictly on my Instagram. So those are the three that I really, really, you know, get around is those
focus
three.
Focus on.
But,
right.
Now, anytime I read a book, like I just read a book by an author, Clarissa Wild, her book Hotel O, which I just finished today. And I left a review for that on Goodreads. And because it's an advanced reader copy, she doesn't have it posted on Amazon yet. So when it goes live on the May 1st, I'll post it there. And BookBub is the new thing right up there with Amazon. So I'll post the review also on BookBub as well.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm a little bit ashamed to say it, but I finally got my author page up on BookBub.
Oh my gosh!
It's all I can handle with the other social media networks, but I finally got my author page up there. Oh dear.
Yeah,
there's
finally.
So many.
I'm getting as far as BookBub. That's the new big thing for us authors, right up there at Amazon. So. And
well, they are the 800-pound gorilla in the industry. I mean, they pick who does well for a month and who doesn't, pretty much. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, BookBub has the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being on BookBub,
they have too much power. Too much power.
Too much power. Well,
too much
power. Between Kindle and BookBub, I mean, that's a majority of the clout in the indie world right now. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
Yeah, we need a whole other show on that one alone.
Monopolizing too much power.
Kathy, we do talk quite a bit on the show about the influence that some networks tend to get at times on the show. We have covered that quite a bit in some of the changes that have not been so friendly to authors that they've all made. It's definitely something.
I've heard about Goodreads, the ads in the Goodreads, which is kind of, and it's so hard because it seems like almost every week, and sometimes even daily, even Facebook locks down like your organic post reach on a page. So you make a group page because that gets a larger reach than, say, a author page, right? Unless you boost your post, right? And then you've got it's almost like you're fighting to show the world what you have, and it sometimes it can almost be a constant struggle, you know, because you're like, you know, Amazon, the new thing for Amazon that I was reading the other day is if posts come with hashtags, then they somehow limit the reach of those as opposed to just a post that mentions the same word. I'm like, what? Because that's the whole point of hashtags, you know, is to get a huge exposure. And granted, they're not so big as, say, as hashtags would be on Instagram, but they're there. So if you do link your Facebook page to your Instagram, then your hashtags are already there. So. Just trying to keep exclusivity, you know, to that particular site. But then for the author,
they have to go back and they have to make a completely different post with the hashtag on another site. And who wants to do that when all you really want to do is be behind the screen or, you know, writing down a piece of paper, a story? You know?
Right, right.
So that's where your PAs come in, you know, those who have PAs, who are fortunate enough to have PAs to be able to run all the social networks while, you know, you're writing the next story. So
I'm the PA.
You're the PA.
I'm a PA. I'm a PA. I'm everything. Put it that way. I wear many hats like Matthew. Many
yeah,
hats.
Hats off to the people that wear many hats. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
We keep you all able to be putting out the books.
Yeah, you keep me organized and on pace. I've written a ton this year, thanks to Holly. So it's I'm appreciative.
And did you do your own self promoting?
Yes. Self promoting. Yeah, we do it. We do ours. We do the presses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to wear two different spheres there. Yeah, we definitely got to promote the business releases, and then also I have to change hats and promote myself as a writer. So, yeah, it's definitely double duty in that area.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious how Daniel's still on, how he did it with his books and that sort of thing. Is he still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
I've just been sitting here listening, y'all. say it again, Kathy.
I know. How do you do the promotion side of your books?
Promotion.
I find places that will actually. I do book signings and stuff like that personally, and find places that are more to me, like, you know, the cigar shops and different things like that that I've got connections with and stuff that I go to. And then, you know, events like we were talking about earlier, you know, the different events that we go to. But when it comes to, like, I literally, be honest with you, I hate Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff, but it's an animal that I have to do.
Yeah, right.
So I force myself into, you know, going on there and doing the stuff that I have to do. And, you know, but I'm of the older generation that doesn't really care for all that stuff, really. But, you know, it's just stuff that, you know.
The nature of the beast.
The nature of the beast. It's stuff that you have to do in today's market. And if you're not doing it, somebody else is.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there's a – I'm not good at it, but I do what I can do. I've purchased my, you know, website, domain and stuff like that, but I haven't put together a website because I really don't understand how to put together a website. And, you know, that's, you know, which some of these kids out there, you know, at 4 years old can do it, but I can't do it at 60. So,
well, you've only been in
the race
since October.
That.
So give yourself a little slack there. So yeah.
Yeah.
I know Kathy and I have been doing this thing for a little longer. So don't be too hard on yourself.
I'm not. I'm just saying this is stuff that I I'm trying to learn and because it is like I said, the nature of the beast. You have to do it whether you enjoy it or not. And like Holly's given me some different apps and everything that's made it, you know, simpler to do different things on. You know, where you can make a post that looks a little bit better than just, you know, a few words up there and, you know, with pictures and different things like that. And, you know, I've been working on trying to do some podcasting and stuff like what we're doing tonight. Been on here, you know, with Stephen and Holly, even when I, you know, probably shouldn't have been because I, you know, drug the show down or something like that, you know, a few times.
Oh, stop it. No, you never drag it down.
I just sit there quietly and let y'all talk when I get too tired and stuff. So,
well, that's fine.
But
it's been such a joy to be around. I mean, you have
yes.
a smile and your eyes just light up. I mean, you are a gift. You really are. So.
Yes.
Well, there's probably other people that would disagree with you on that, but yeah.
I don't. I agree fully.
Thank you.
But, you know,
you can take that all the way to the bank, buddy.
I believe in, you know, just giving of yourself at, you know, like at the events, what we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier, you know, you've got to help, you know, help out where you can and do what
right.
you can and promote yourself. And even though you may not enjoy it, you know, like we all have a real good friend and everything that is a very shy person, actually. In public and everything, you would think that they are not shy at all. But they have so much, you know, they have to go to their room and lay down during events just to recuperate sometimes because of the fact that they have totally exhausted themselves from being in the public.
Right.
And, you know, that is something that, you know, that like Holly, you know, she has that problem and everything, and I have that problem, you know,
yep.
of being in public eye and everything where, you know, we don't like it, but, you know, everybody, you know, expects us to be there, so we've got to be there. So
That's right. And you got to put the pretty face on and smile and be ready. And that's why you got to take time to walk away, you know. You got to take
yep.
a few minutes here and there, get a break in, you know. So you don't
but,
exhaust
you know,
yourself.
There is certain times, you know, when, like with Facebook, I've got Facebook attached, like Kathy does, I have my Facebook and my Twitter attached together. I've got, you know, Pinterest and all that stuff that you can follow me on. But a lot of that's under my regular name, so if you're looking up Daniel Dark, you're not going to find it. You know, because that is my pen name. It's not my actual name. So, you know, there is certain ones that I have under Daniel Dark.
Right.
My Goodreads is under Daniel Dark. My, you know, Seven Star Press page is under Daniel Dark. My, you know, Facebook
mm-hmm.
page, I've got my Daniel Dark there. Twitter, you know, I've got, you know, there are certain ones that are the big ones that, you know, that have it just under Daniel Dark and stuff. And then, you know, like I said, my Pinterest and stuff, that is under my Google
sure.
and personal name and stuff like that. So, I,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I haven't, you know, learned how to use that one yet to promote my books or anything or to promote me. So,
right.
But I'm going to start using, you know, the Facebook Live a little bit more. I'm going to start doing, if I can get everything working properly, I'm about ready to kill somebody over a piece of studio equipment that I bought that has never worked right since I got it, and I can't get the factory to do anything about it. But
right.
if I can get that working and stuff, I will be doing my things on YouTube and stuff like that, which I think that is very important for promoting other authors as well as myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that's what I will be doing on like YouTube and doing podcasts will be doing reviews and interviews with other authors and different people like that, where I can promote their work and give a complete review of their books or movies or whatever, and let them talk a little bit about what they're doing. And also, it promotes me at the same time. So.
True.
We have to get Kathy on your new series.
It's sort of like the cauldron.
Yes.
You know.
The cauldron that we got to get back to.
That we, you know, have been promised that we're going to get to see, you know, a week or so ago.
We operate a different time-space continuum. It will happen.
Yes, we do. 2020.
At least by 2020. When we do the catch-up with Kathy events, we'll relaunch the cauldron.
There you go.
It's coming very, very, very shortly.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I know, we keep saying that.
I will gladly pay you tomorrow for
a burger today.
A hamburger today. That's true.
Steven loves hamburgers. He can be bribed with bourbon and hamburgers.
I can be bribed with hamburgers
and cookies.
That's one of my favorite things in the world. So yeah.
And cookies.
Well,
the Jacksons are very expert at doing. They know how to find these. So it's I'm impressed.
Do what,
I
Daniel?
I actually bribed him with something that wasn't bourbon, though.
I know.
Yeah,
he actually liked it.
Another beverage. A very excellent beverage, I will add.
Yeah.
How long did that one last you? Is it gone already?
2 days. I dragged it out. I did not. I dragged it out
2 days.
Over a... No, not 2 days. It was longer than 2 days.
2 days.
Give me a break.
2 days.
She's throwing
days.
Me under the bus, Kathy. It's terrible.
No, I'm being truthful.
No, you're not. It was longer than 2 days.
Three.
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
Two days, 1 minute.
There you go. That's about it.
It was more than 2 days. It was, because I savored it.
It was...
I did. I loved it.
He did
I
like it.
I absolutely loved it. I savored my cookies
the white
for
rabbit.
Kathy and Matt, and I savored my beverage contribution from Daniel, and it was most excellent.
It was a good 2 days.
I'll
okay,
have
I'll
you know that
Jack
I still
Daniel's
have the
white
fire.
Rabbit. It was Jack Daniel's White Rabbit. I'll say it.
Yeah,
I liked the whiskey. I did. I liked the straight whiskey, that was not bourbon.
Oh, my God. I didn't think I'd ever hear it out of Zimmer's mouth.
I know. It's shocking.
It is. Shocking. Shocking.
It was extremely good, though.
I am here to help corrupt. That's all I'm here for.
Well, that's why Lacey keeps a close eye on you. She's already aware of that.
Yes. Yeah, Kathy and Matt, I didn't know if you know, Lacey Marie is Seven Star Press's actual mental health counselor.
Official mental health counselor. But Kathy can also
study on me.
Well, since I know Kathy has a degree, she can come aboard and be on staff.
Yeah, we know. Kathy can come help too now.
Oh,
we
man.
Need it. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah, but Lacey Marie, she knows what we're talking about. She'll be listening to this show at some point, you know, as far as the download or
she
stream.
Will.
And yeah,
she leaves for 3 days for the Lakota. She's going to the Lakota reservation.
The Sioux.
And the Native American reservation. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah,
to do some work out there. So we'll send her well wishes and Godspeed and safe travels.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Yeah. She does well
sweetheart.
Out there. She is. She is a sweetheart. Yep. And I can't wait to see the pictures.
Yeah.
She'll have to come with us to Kathy's Ketchup Emporium.
Yeah. Wait, Ketchup with Kathy. This is going to be a thing. We are making sure this is a thing in the future. Somehow. It's got to happen. Ketchup with Kathy.
And cookies.
Wine tasting? Well, now it's like a ketchup tasting. I just
That's a good idea.
Well, you gotta think out of the box for book events. This is a good approach. It really is. You come and try gourmet ketchups and buy Kathy Jackson books and the other exhibitors that will be with her. It's fantastic.
There you go.
Right? Because you got to leave with one of Daniel's books. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'd be fantastic. And then, Steven, you bring your hellscapes, see?
Yeah.
You bring your horror books. See, it all ties in. It all ties in.
Yeah. I'd be a little intense for certain audiences, but yeah. But there is a moral to the story. There is. They are warnings. Warnings. Yeah.
There is. Well, I guess we should wrap it up and say goodnight. But to anybody that you have, just pass it on that they can listen after ours. And
yes,
it'll be up by tomorrow, maybe later tonight.
No, about 10 minutes after we complete the show, it goes live on stream
live.
And download. And most of our audience, actually, a majority of our audience does catch the stream download version. So we do know you're listening. And yes, I've soldiered through a night despite running a fever. So hopefully I've been coherent at least. But yeah, we want to have Kathy and Matt on sooner than later. We definitely want to have you on again before Imaginarium, and just had a blast having you aboard. Great to talk to a writer in the romance genre and somebody that we all feel on our end exemplifies the etiquette side of the book world. So yeah, we just had a great time, Kathy.
Oh, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Steven, start feeling
well. Catch. Yes, he'll start feeling better. I'm gonna make him a hot toddy.
I made it to the end of the show. By God, I would not miss the Action Jacksons. No way. I may be sweating. I may be running a fever, but I am not gonna miss the Action Jacksons on a Star Chamber show night. No way. And this is proof. This is irrefutable proof. So that note,
that's true.
We will see you all next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Star Chamber show. Check out Kathy Jackson. And, of course, thank you to Matt Jackson for being aboard tonight for the show. And definitely check out their books. Great stuff and great people. And want to wish everyone a good evening.
And talk to you later. Night.